Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
Invented and go round where the fans unite. Steve Megatron leads us, igniting the night. Talking movies and games, pop culture galore. Altered Geek vibes always leaving us wanting more. Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Welcome back to the podcast. So, what has been up? So, it's been a couple of weeks. I've been kind of rebooting the batteries. I've been kind of looking into things and, you know, changing things up. Some of it with AI, some of it with other elements here. And, so, yeah, this is kind of a new experiment with the theme, just kind of playing around with it to see what resonates. But I do have some topics today as I fly solo once more. So before we get into that, smash that subscribe button on the podcast, if you would, please. And of course, thank you for tuning in. And if you like the show and you want to do a favor and share it with your friends on the socials, you can find it anywhere via at Altered Geek. I'd really appreciate it. And as always, comment on the episode in your desired method and let me know what you'd like to hear next. So, since the last episode, I've been doing a kitchen renovation. I've been working my tail off. Haven't done much in the 3D printing realm. Haven't done much outside of the website. I've guested on Kai Dragon Media. And yeah, really haven't done a whole lot in the heck of podcasts. I've had a lot of anxiety and stress issues, and so I've been kind of taking mental health days to just kind of game and just kind of sit back and watch Netflix or just not do anything. I've also been kind of looking into some new ideas for the show, like to kind of liven it up, refresh it, kind of give it some new flair for the fact that it's been around since I think about 11 or 12 years now. So it's crazy that this show's been around that long, but ATTF, All Things Transformers, has been around quite a bit longer, actually 16 years, and kind of beating the network. So, but we've hit our 15-year stride on the podcast network here, and no sign in stopping. So yeah, I've been working with my cabinet and adding to my geek cabinet. I've got a nice like G1, G2's Transformers collection, Beast Wars collection, Star Trek. I have some of the stuff is Hot Wheels related. I've been picking up Batmobiles lately from the animated series in different color palettes from Hot Wheels, as well as like S10 Chevy trucks. And yeah, so I've been doing that. I've been collecting Power Rangers figures. I got the lineup that I cared for, which was the MMPR and Zio, and then of course all the Jason David Frank stuff. And then recently, for some odd reason, I got back into Dragon Ball Z. And what's funny about that is, years ago I had a podcast idea. I was going to start with Mike the Birdman Dodd and or Mike the Birdman, as he kind of calls himself now. And I was going to do a Dragon Ball Z podcast called The Cyber Dragon Ball, which the Cyber Dragon Ball was actually, oddly enough, a Dragon Ball Z website that I started after I did my first Transformers website, actually. So it was Majin Phillips and Bebby Kilburn, and then Majin Vegeta and Bebby Gogeta or something. Dragon Ball Z GT website, and then it eventually went to the Dark Dragon Ball and became the Cyber Dragon Ball. And yeah, so I went through a lot of name changes, mostly just because I was playing around on GeoCities, and yeah, that was the kind of era that we were in. So it of course was before Dragon Ball Kai and Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball Daima or Daimyo, which is the one they've changed the whole timeline of the Dragon Ball thing. Like GT technically doesn't exist, but it technically exists in a weird way. So you get Dragon Ball, you get Dragon Ball Z or Kai, whichever one you prefer. I've never watched Kai, so I have no idea, you know, what I'm getting in for. But Dragon Ball Z, as far as I know, is longer and it's older animation and it's kind of lengthened compared to Kai. And then what's funny is after the Buu saga, where they kind of jump back to a tournament with Oob and Goku's wearing like the blue getup at the end, they explain that that's supposed to be like 10 years later. However, Dragon Ball Super takes place directly after the Buu saga, as far as I can understand it. And so they kind of wrap that in there in an odd way. And I find it funny because they've got all these magnificent moves and all these special powers and, you know, Super Saiyan God and Super Saiyan Blue and Ultra Instinct, all these things that, you know, are a little odd. But it also shows that Goku's still quite immature during Super. And at the end of Z, he's supposed to be more of that kind of trainer setup. So it's kind of interesting how they're going there. And then Dragon Ball Daimyo I can't pronounce it. I haven't heard it yet, so I can't pronounce it, but it takes place after Super, apparently. And then it goes like, cause it knocks like Goku and all of his friends down to like children level, kind of like GT did to begin with. And then it's supposed to like, they're supposed to get back to normal. And then it's the end of Z. So it's rather confusing how it all goes. Like, I would have seen Super as after Z, and then like the Daimyo, I was like, why? But I don't know. Either way, I'm kind of excited to kind of cover some of that. And I've kind of gotten into some of the figures. I've discovered there's like three different price tiers. You get your SH Figure Arts figures, which are like $60. And then you get your Bandai Namco figures, which are around like $20 to $30. They're kind of higher detail, come with a little bit more hands or faces or things like that. I want those. However, I've kind of committed to the $10 figures because those are the Dragon Ball Super Evolve, and they have like more bendability to them. They have a little bit nicer of a posability and aspects. They do feel cheaper. I will admit that they're very light and they're very cheap. However, I like the sizing scale and I like the fact that they're $10. So I've already got Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta, Super Saiyan Blue Goku, and Super Saiyan Blue Gogeta coming. I would love to get my hands on like Super Saiyan 2 Goku in his uniform, not with like the torn uniform, and then Super Saiyan like the yellow gold hair of Gogeta and Vegito to go with it. Cause I while I like the blue, like I'm still fairly new to that. And for my nostalgia's sake, I like the gold hair thing. So I'm still kind of hunting for those, and they're very rare if you find them. Like I can find Ultra Instinct Goku and Trunks and Goku without any Super Saiyan, which I might pick that up yet. Like cause I'm more of a Goku fan from the whole series, but I'm not one of those guys, like, unless it's Beast Wars or Transformers, I don't pick up the villains, which is amazing because I like playing the villain character. I like playing the voice of the villain. Like I have Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe. That's the only G.I. Joe figure I have, but it's him with the Deke battle armor. And then I have, you know, all these other, you know, heroes from everything else except for when it comes to Transformers or Beast Wars. And so so yeah, I'm kind of getting into a little bit of Dragon Ball stuff. And as you've noticed over the years, whatever I happen to get into at the time, that's kind of what I collect. Like I was huge into Beast Wars. And so I've got some of those, and I'm happy with it. I'm not collecting any new ones. So I'm not getting like Silverbolt, Tiger Hawk, you know, stuff like that. I'm not getting any more of the Trans Art stuff because there's really nothing that resonates with me outside of the Optimus and Megatron stuff. G1, I want some of the stuff, but again, it's not anything I absolutely have to have. So I'm kind of done there. And same thing with like Star Trek and Power Rangers, unless Playmates comes out with something immaculately awesome. I don't see myself buying any of those, but I'm kind of into Dragon Ball Z stuff, Dragon Ball Super at the moment. So I'm kind of going that direction with it. And then, of course, you know, we're going to get into the topics, but it's just kind of crazy, I guess you could say, with just some of the stuff that's been going on in the podcast and geek world. I've seen like some different interesting topics. I don't know how many people like frequent LinkedIn. I see a lot of like geek and like tech culture things kind of pop up in there. And so it makes me very interested in the topics that are kind of popping up. And I've been experimenting with, you know, do I talk about these? Do I not talk about these? Like, I've seen some stuff about like streaming prices nearing tipping point. That was posted like 3 weeks ago, because people are just kind of, you know, they're figuring out how to turn a profit by charging people more. And, you know, the years of prioritizing user growth with low prices are over. Because like Disney Plus and, you know, Max and Peacock, Paramount and everybody are all jacking their prices up now. And it's oddly enough pushed a boon for people to move back to physical media, DVDs, Blu-rays, CDs. Like it's really quite amazing, to be honest. You know, you're seeing more cheaper ad supported models. However, you know, while they're cracking down on password sharing and other things, but they're doing price hikes. Like I even saw a report from StreamYard that they were like doubling and tripling in some cases the pricing people were using that service for live streaming. I mean, there's other alternatives. There's Discord, there's Video, or ninja.video or something. I don't know what it's called, but there's that option. There's OBS. There's just all kinds of things in that neighborhood that are kind of interesting to see that, you know, services are just wanting all reward and no risk, kind of like Hollywood with doing upcoming shows and sequels and tried and true genres of things like mysteries and, you know, sitcoms and sequel series and revivals. And I mean, I talk ad nauseum about this stuff, you know, but they're kind of going with like no risk shows. I do find it humorous, I'm not gonna lie, because there's just all the things this year as far as movies and media that have done well, you know, Beetlejuice, Beverly Hills Cop, Deadpool, Sonic, like those things are nostalgia, but they were good. Which makes it kind of interesting because media companies are they're wanting to remake pretty much anything that was something big. Like media companies are also wanting like laugh out loud comedies and reboots that come with built in audiences, believing people want to be cheered up after the pandemic and heading into a tense election season. Like some are making fewer titles. You know, I'm looking at you, Disney, and leaning on sequels over originals after a string of box office flops. It's funny because they say even a lot aren't guaranteed to have a buyer. Like CBS, known for reboots and revivals, is reviving Matlock with Kathy Bates, which meh. I do agree with the idea of reboot fatigue. I think that we're kind of hitting this grand point where people are just kind of tired of seeing a lot of this stuff. They've created these weird situations where they're just not willing to try anything new. And I get it. Like there's some things to be said for nostalgia, I do understand that, because nostalgia is kind of that built-in money bags. But same token, I don't necessarily enjoy seeing a reboot or a revival or a prequel of something. Like, we keep getting these, like, stories that I don't necessarily believe we need. Like, we had, you know, Pennyworth, we've had The Acolyte, we've had, again, like, these things that they just don't, I don't think we need them. Like, I didn't need Star Trek Discovery, although I will give it merit for reviving the Trek franchise. It's, again, it's kind of just getting old, seeing a lot of this stuff kind of popping up. And then, of course, we're kind of going the other direction on some stuff. You know, there's people freaking out about a possible digital dark age because people are like, well, the internet is not forever. You know, people are worried about, like, digital footprints being just wiped from existence. Because they're talking about having an online heritage with, you know, protecting it, because, like, the Internet Archive wants to do that, and I'll get to them in a minute. But, you know, they're talking about, like, saving family photos, or, you know, having magazines, you know, looking back after decades and, you know, like, centuries and things like that. You know, like, because I think some of the, there were some websites that kind of just went the way of the dodo. And the Internet Archive is trying to back things up and trying to archive stuff. But even they're kind of hitting brick walls on some stuff. Like, the court system went after the Internet Archive recently about allowing access to scanned digital copies of books because publishers sued them, which they're a nonprofit organization. They're kind of equating it to, like, a physical library. However, I will say it is easier to find outdated and copyrighted materials on the Internet Archive. Like, you can find old games, you can find old magazines, old comics, old movies, old TV shows, old CDs, old podcasts. Like, you can find pretty much anything that's older than 5 years old. And so I do somewhat agree with, like, the publishers. However, there's a lot of cases where, because, like, they're facing, like, a $400 million copyright infringement lawsuit from a group of record labels because of stuff. And then they've been getting in trouble with book labels. I think, and this is kind of, like, really touchy, I think I agree in the sense of archiving this stuff, but it is out there to the public. So it's kind of creating situations where they'll end up being, like, ebook lending and regulations on what is able to be archived. For instance, like, I wrote an article for our War for Cybertron Transformers review Kingdom a few years back. And when we were doing the website migration, it got wiped. I was able to go to the Internet Archive, find the original document, or the original post, find the date, find the, you know, all the information, and they'd scraped it perfectly. I was able to go back and copy my original post and put it and republish it back for the same date on the website, like it was never gone. So, I mean, I like them, but I understand the lawsuit part of it, and the copyright infringement and the licensing agreements and things that they're going to have to be more vigilant with protecting intellectual property rights. Can't speak tonight. But yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent on saving and kind of archiving a lot of this stuff. I do think that in a lot of cases, like, some of these publishers either need to have a way for you to get it, like an old book that you cannot find anymore, or an old game that you cannot get your hands on anymore, there needs to be a legal way of having it accessible and not charging an arm and a leg for it. And this is, again, this is another reason for going back to physical media over having streaming or having digital files, because all it takes is somebody to get a hair up their butt and make it disappear. Like, it's not something that you can count on always being there. We've been seeing it a lot. Like, it's like Disney. They would do the digital vault and kind of lock things away and then bring them back out for a DVD release. Oh, it's a new platinum edition. Oh, it's a new gold edition. It's a new, you know, diamond edition. You know, they just create a new edition and have it come back out with something else. But they would create that sense of limited time only. And I didn't like that, because they would just kind of nickel and dime you every time it came out and charge an extra like $3-4 every time it'd come out and basically milk the money out of the same product. And I like being able to access like the older nostalgia pieces without being ripped off. However, if they're going to like throw this big of a tantrum over copyright infringement, they need to make it accessible. If they're not, let the Internet Archive be the Internet Archive and have it freely available. If nothing else, you're getting someone into whatever the medium is, and in hopes that they will buy something that is new, that is in that same franchise that you're publishing today. So, soapbox ended there. And then, of course, we get into other realms. We have Nokia at the end of August released a dumb phone. European manufacturers of Nokia launched a Barbie branded flip phone in partnership with Mattel. And it's only available in the UK for $130, which I think is kind of steep. They do plan on having it come out in the US, harnessing the digital detox trend. The model is a dumb phone with no internet access and only basic camera and text messaging options. The phone's debut comes a full year after the 2023 blockbuster release of the Barbie movie. They're still forecasting brisk sales of 400,000 units in the UK. I find it interesting because, again, it's a flip phone. I mean, Nokia is kind of known for this anyway, and it kind of looks cool. Like, I mean, it's a flip phone. Obviously, I wouldn't get a Barbie version, but I mean, I do like the idea of a dumb phone. I loved my Motorola Razr 3, V3, and it was by far my favorite flip phone, by far my favorite dumb phone before I got a smartphone. I do agree to some extent that, you know, despite it being nostalgic and retro, it's funny that what's old is new again. But it's also fun to see the trend kind of coming back. It's also fun to see that people are kind of second guessing this whole digital medium of being always connected at the hip. Honestly, if I was going to have a new phone and it wasn't a smartphone, I would go back to a flip phone. But I mean, I think I've gotten so connected with being able to do everything from my phone and not necessarily needing a desktop. Like I can play games, I can write, I can do Canva and create business cards, I can work on geekcastradio.com if there's an issue. And I can do it from anywhere. And that's kind of the point. Like, but also then you're always connected to your work. And I do have access to work. However, I also have to put boundaries and blinders on. Like, I'm not going to touch this when I'm not being paid. And it's more so just because I will get carried away and log in because it's available. Whereas if I had a dumb phone or like the Motorola Razr or, you know, things like that, it's a lot harder to text. It's a lot harder to stay connected. It's just strictly a phone. And I think sometimes that's what we need, but yet we're not always on that kind of wavelength. And I feel like sometimes we get a little bit overboard. So, I mean, if I was going to get a phone for my kid, it would likely be a dumb phone like this, because while I would want to teach them the concept of, you know, the phone, the digital phones that are out now, I don't know if I would want him and my boys being always connected at the hip, because I feel like it screws with your mental state in a lot of ways, just being always on, like always available. And then, you know, of course, I do this too. You're always preoccupied and staring at the phone. And so, like, it makes it difficult. And I think that's a why we've had a lot more like people having issues like mentally with like anxiety and stress. And, you know, you're dealing with social media and then you're always connected and then you got to check this and you got to check that. And you got to, you know, there's no downtime. There's no boredom. There's no element to make us just sit back, relax, think, take, you know, a pause, breathe, kind of find a hobby that's not connected to digital. I sometimes struggle with this too. I've definitely struggled with it, which I would love to get back into my 3D printing and my painting, but just haven't quite gotten there yet. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting that what's old is new again. And then, of course, kind of rounding out the last two topics here, there was somebody made in like Bloomberg was talking about shortening attention spans, and podcasters is finding it that it pays to go longer. And I think it's funny because they're talking to the host of Acquired, which went, there was like a podcast with Elon Musk and Neuralink executives that went 9 hours. To me, that's like excessive. Like, I have a hard time going over an hour and a half. My attention span drops and I'm just done. Like, as the host, like, I'm done. Like, it's very difficult. I have to be very engaged, or the topic has to be kind of something that I'll stay engaged with. And so, I mean, it's funny because this podcast was mentioning that 70% completion of a recent 3.5 hour episode, noting that every time they made something longer, people only seem to love it more. And it's, you know, they're like, podcasts are no longer only 30 minutes or even hour long affairs. Increasingly, podcasters are pushing the outer limits of episode length while stress testing their audience endurance. Popular podcast episodes can now run on for half a workday or longer. While I think it's funny that they're kind of making this joke, and then they're like, you know, giving audiences what they want to some degree, or having, you know, more topics, I also kind of think that there is still a place. I kind of go by that creed of podcasts are as long as they need to be. Not a minute longer, not a minute less. Like, talk about what you have to talk about and stop. Like, stop recording. Don't ramble. Don't let it go on. You know, if the topic warrants it, record by all means. But when the topic dries up, it's time to shut it down. Like, I don't feel like I need a 4 hour episode of Altered Geek. Like, I don't feel like I need a 4 hour episode of All Things Transformers. I mean, if it's a top 100 thing, yeah. I mean, if I'm going to hit 3.5 hours, that's going to be the exception. I don't feel like I need like an all day live stream, or I need an all day episode of recording. I wouldn't mind recording multiple shows in that time span, but I don't necessarily need one podcast running on for three hours. So I don't know what you guys think on this. Like, I don't know what the perfect time frame is for you, or like if you just have a drive time thing, or if it's, you know, you listen sporadically throughout the day. Like, I would be interested in hearing this, because like I'm seeing these like Bloomberg and, you know, all these things, because I'm frequenting like the marketing and all these different news on LinkedIn. And it kind of struck me as funny. And I'm like, well, no, duh. Like, people have always recorded longer. It's just that it's not really been as noticed until recently. Like, I think that like a lot of this is just way behind in the news, and they're just like, we got nothing else to do. That's mentioned how podcasts should go longer. I don't know. It's just, it's weird, but yeah, let me know what you guys think. Feedback at geekcastradio.com, or just let me know on the episode post. And then finally, Transformers 1 is coming out, and IGN had the gall, as they always do. They gave it a 5 out of 10. They said, though the tragedy of Optimus Prime and Megatron's storied rivalry could have felt larger than life, Transformers 1 is mostly content with half-hearted puns and barely legible Cybertronian battles that could have been used some major transforming before rolling out. I hate IGN. I'm not hiding it. I really do. I hate them with a passion. I feel like so many of these sites, like I saw something from Screen Rant earlier and it made me like chuckle. And I was like, these guys are putzes. Like they had a worst to best rating of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I'm going to go over with TFG and Mike at some point on Studio 2009, because I want to have us give our rating because theirs was so off base. Like everybody in the comments was going for this Screen Rant article. They're like, did you even watch the movie? It was amazing. The way that they ranked all of the films, like some of the ones that should not have been in the top 10 were in the top 10. And some of the ones that were in the bottom 10 should not have been in the bottom 10. It was amazing. But we'll bring that up in a future episode. I wouldn't mind seeing what everybody else's thoughts are on the, you know, 32 Marvel films that have come out in the last like 15 years. But back to the Transformers 1 article here. I thought it was kind of amazing that they managed to bring this up and the gall that they had with it to say this. And like TF Hype guy on X said, appalling showing from IGN, terrible review that doesn't look good on their already terrible record for reviews. And then, of course, Proto Man, Daniel Arsenault, goes, IGN is owned by Ziff Davis, Inc. That makes sure that traditional toy play is no more in the wake of digital gaming. Always follow the motive. And, you know, of course, I put also IGN and most of these public entities are shallow reviewers who are unaware of what is actually good. This film looks like a breath of fresh air for the franchise, like Beast Wars was back in the 90s and the 2007 film was in its time. If IGN is against it, I am on board. And of course, like TFG and Mike goes, well said. Somebody else on X goes, they gave Rise of the Beast a 7, which, OK, it was halfway decent. And this person was like, if they gave it a 7, then TF1 is at least an 8 or a 9 or a 10. I don't know. I'm so... I hate like Rotten Tomatoes changing their whole structure. It's funny because somebody else goes, IGN has been handing out 7s like it's their job, and now that gets a 5, which has been praised by literally every review other than theirs, must have not gotten paid enough. I don't even know, man. I hate IGN. I so can't stand them. Someone else goes, this is how you know it's a good movie. If IGN's says it's a no, it's definitely good. Somebody else says, if it's IGN or it's IGN, if they don't like it, then it must be good. Barely legible battle. Somebody's put all the battles were great. And they're like, remember, they gave She-Hulk a 9. So their opinions do not matter. Somebody else goes, my dude, it's IGN. They don't have real fans working for them there. They have wannabes who only view content and do reviews, so they keep their views counts up. Somebody says, I had the privilege yesterday to see the movie and I loved it. 10 out of 10. Transformers rollout. I can't believe this. Everybody on there on this Twitter thread is going it's IGN, like they're using that as the excuse. Common IGN loss. They gave it the same score as Madam Web. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. This is kind of the market we're in with reviews. They all suck. Like all these review companies, like you get the Mary Sue, you get these guys, you get, you know, Screen Rant, you get they're all terrible. Like none of them do this very well anymore. But I would love to hear what you guys think. And when you see it, what your review is, let us know. And of course, get a hold of us on the website. Let us know your feedback. And as always, thank you for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. You know, interact with us on X at SCP-21 and at Altered Geek. This episode's post on Facebook and, of course, always on GeekCastRadio.com. We're working on getting this feed on other digital distribution platforms. A lot of the stuff got screwed up when Spreaker had it, so we're still ironing those details out. But you can always listen on GeekCastRadio.com, Spotify, and iTunes or Apple Podcasts. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. We'll conquer the cosmos. What the heck? From Batman's shadows to Iron Man's flight, our geeky adventures take off like a kite. In a world where pixels paint the skies, gather round, friends, let's amplify our cries. Wolverine's claws sharpen, the battles ignite. Steve's got the insights guiding us right. Altered Geeks here, no limits in sight. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name. From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.